Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome back our next guest. Was on about a week ago, and great reaction. Tom Wright, former Lansing police officer, now with Emergent BioSolutions, and we are talking about the Mid-Michigan Police Academy. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Well, welcome to the studio. You made yourself at home, and I've never seen these interns snap to attention quite the same way. When I got here, they were all ready to go.
A uniform and
amazing.
And arm, yeah.
That very helps. Important. I maybe ought
helps
to get
to
one
armed.
Of those. I can wear that in the studio and still won't get any respect.
There you
want
go.
To talk about LCC West and the Mid-Michigan Police Academy. This is 18 weeks of specialized instruction, correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. How many people take advantage of that, and exactly what is the program?
The program is, first of all, it's mandated by state law. A commission was set up back in 1965. Public Act 203, and it basically takes all of law enforcement's training for the state of Michigan and keeps it on one level, so everyone is being trained the same. You have approximately 21,000 police officers in the state of Michigan and probably over 600 police agencies, and that's including tribal police, railroad police, state police, county, city, townships. So the LCC program is one of 21 authorized academies, and they have done this now, I think, since about 1967.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 86th academy that is about to start up here, actually Monday. It's an 18-week process, and it's very in-depth.
And it's not inexpensive. It's something you have to be committed to. This isn't something you do on a whim, right?
Absolutely. First of all, you have to pass a battery of issues, background and oral interview, just to get into this academy. There is cost involved because at the end of this, you have 37 credits from Lansing Community College. And if you have your core credits already, then you're going to graduate with an associate's degree. So you're really going to get something out of that. It's very condensed, so you're getting 37 credits in 18 weeks. I believe it's around $6,400 or $6,500 for in-district.
Mm-hmm.
And then out-of-district personnel, I think, is around $9,400 or $9,500. And, of course, you have to have your own living expenses for 18 weeks. You're not unable to work part-time, if you will, to support yourself. So you're going to have a plan, basically. You're going to want to have to be there.
When you talk to these candidates, do they want to be police officers for the same reasons that you did?
I think that's why I stay involved. I've been doing this now since 1981. This group here will give me, I think, about 1,752 police officers that I've had the honor to teach. Some of them now are actually retired, they just are full of excitement. I mean, and you have to have it. This is one of those jobs that you either like it, or you're not going to like it, and you're either going to be effective or you're going to be a hindrance. These are people who want to be there. They want to learn. They're like a sponge. They just soak up everything that you can give them. And we want them to be obviously as professional as possible because there's a lot of hazards.
Did you say 1,752?
Yes.
You know, I'm doing the math in my head. I think that's slightly more police officers that you have helped train than Joe Paterno has coached at Penn State. That's a lot of police officers.
Well, I'd sure love to have him come in.
That would be something.
That
well,
would
I hope
be good.
You're not doing this when you're 83 or whatever.
Well, you never know. It keeps me young.
Well, let's talk a little bit about being a police officer and the most important things that you have to come to grips with and you have to really master before you can be effective in the community.
I think probably the verbal skills. That seems to be one of the biggest issues with the younger recruits and younger police officers because most generally they have been brought up in an environment where perhaps you don't use assertive language or tone of voice with your elders, if you will. And I try to put it across as if you're learning to be an actor. And when you go to work that day, you're going to be a police officer. So you may have to actually raise your voice. You may have to bark out some commands that may be foreign to you. Right. It probably will be foreign. You're going to have to learn how to be effective like that.
Right.
So good communication skills, I think, really, in a inner drive, because it's ongoing through the entire career of training. I mean, it never stops. It goes on and on and on. And then there are, you know, so many various aspects of police work that somebody usually finds their niche, whether it's undercover drug work or perhaps
right.
traffic or investigations or those things. So,
besides knowledge of the law and the integrity to enforce the law and the authority to be able to do that, I think what you said is very, very appropriate. I was reminded of the night where we met when we were sitting
yes.
over at the Ponderosa and we were talking at the benefit for the slain officer in Florida. And listening to you talk about the communication aspect of the job, how important that is. You can solve a lot of problems, and you can avoid a lot of problems with the way you interact with people.
Oh, absolutely. And you have to be able to read a situation. Sometimes, you know, you have to pull out what rabbit out of the hat that's going to be effective. For example, if you're dealing with a child that's a victim,
right.
Sometimes they're overwhelmed by the officer and the uniform and so you want to actually get down on their level, whether you have to drop down to one knee, you
mm-hmm.
take your hat off
mm-hmm.
if you're wearing a hat so that you're not intimidating.
Right.
But if you're in a crowd of perhaps intoxicated individuals in a bar parking lot,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to put on a whole new mask there. You're going to have to be sure of yourself. Certainly
right.
you don't want to wade in farther than you can deal with it effectively. But, yeah, there's every situation is different, and that's the beauty of it. And every day is different.
When you talk about the art of being a police officer, how much of that is learned over experience, over all the years that you've worked on the force, and how much of it is common sense, and do you either have that intuition of how to deal or you don't?
That's a great point. You know, you've heard of having that sixth sense,
yeah.
that when you feel something perhaps that's unsafe or a hazard, you feel the hair on the back of your neck stand up. If you don't have that, you're going to have a problem. If you can't tell when someone is looking you in the eye and just giving you a quite a line, then you're going to have some issues with
mm-hmm.
this. If you have that basic sixth sense,
mm-hmm.
with training and experience, you can put a fine edge on that. And
a BS sniffer.
Oh, you know, and you get to be a good BSer after a while. And after a while, you get to be a good storyteller. See, that's how that works.
What is the most common question you get from the students at Mid-Michigan Police Academy? And what is the strangest question you can remember being asked?
Oh, boy.
Is there one that you know you're going to get every group are going to want to know something?
Usually, you know, there's not one particular question. Usually they want to know a little bit about your background, and one of those issues, have you ever been in any kind of gun battle or gunfight? And of course kids ask that all the time.
Oh, we asked you that night at
yeah,
the restaurant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And kids will ask that. They say, have you ever shot anyone, or have you, you know, because they're fascinated with the guns. Probably the strangest type of questions are, with all your gear on and you're out on the street, what happens if you have to go to the bathroom? Which is a legitimate question, you know, I suppose.
What happens if you have to go to the bathroom?
That's why we have fire stations and hospitals.
Good idea, yeah.
You want to go to a friendly port, you know.
Well, yeah, and you had a very interesting comment the other night when we talked about this, and I'm sure this is something that the Academy students would want to learn. When there were police officers on the beat in the community coffee shops.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They were able to be humanized.
Correct.
To the community. Now, they still maintained the air of respect, but people related to them the sense that they understood they weren't working against them. There was an appropriate apprehension, but not an unreasonable fear.
Right. You know, there's always the jokes of the cops and donuts. I like to refer to them as power pellets, actually. And that's a secret we don't really want to get out, but I guess it's out now. But a lot of the younger officers, they're not so much coffee drinkers. And we really don't have that many coffee shops. I mean, you have the ones you can drive in now and you can get your coffee through
right.
the window. But the days of being able to sit around a counter and interact with people and scratch off a lottery ticket, an instant ticket with them.
Sure.
The benefit to that always was the fact that perhaps something that they have seen that they didn't feel was warranted a call to the police. Once they get to know you and you get to be a regular, they will give you that information and say, gee, I saw this. It just didn't seem right, a vehicle in my neighborhood, et cetera, and it just didn't seem important enough to call in. But so you build that respect.
So without having that, how do you teach that skill or that aspect of the work to these students?
That's a big challenge because this day and age of computers, you've got a laptop in front of you. There's laptops right in the police cars.
Right.
Instant communication. They do reports in the police cars on the laptops. They do them in the stations. I try to encourage that you need to get out. You need to get out of the car. You need to get out. You need to talk to people. You need sometimes to initiate the conversation because a lot of folks are going to be somewhat intimidated or afraid of you. You need to find a regular, perhaps, restaurant to go to where you get to know the people behind the counter. People see you there so that every time you show up, it's not a negative thing.
Right.
When they see you, they actually are going to be glad to see you. And I would suggest actually folks in the community, there's nothing wrong with walking up and saying hello. I mean, the officer may look at you somewhat suspiciously as you do that, but I go wherever I go. If I see a police officer or a military service individual, I always walk up to them and I extend my hand and I thank them for their service. And it's such a brotherhood that all I have to do is tell the officer, no matter what state I'm in, that I'm a retired police officer from Michigan.
Right.
There's an instant camaraderie. They don't even know me, but there's an instant camaraderie. They relax. And so, it's a two-way street. The officers need to make sure that they try to keep things on a positive, not necessarily all negative. And people actually need to come forward, too, and say hello to the officer.
If someone wants to get involved in police work, if they think they can do this and want to do this and are committed to do this and be a future student at this academy, what do they do?
Well, first of all, obviously, they need to have had a clear background. And hopefully this has come to them somewhere in life around high school before they get themselves in trouble.
Right.
They're going to want to get some college courses, and then they're going to want to start to look into the costs, et cetera.
Right.
And even perhaps go on a ride along or become an explorer if they're a young person. A lot of departments have explorer groups to get a feel for what they want to do. But
they should do that before they.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I was actually a cadet. I was in the second group of the first police cadets that the Lansing Police Department had.
Right.
And I think out of that large number, there probably was 40-some of us over a period of a couple of years, I think all of us ended up being hired as police officers.
Well, he's a retired police officer now, but he is not retired from helping train for the Mid-Michigan Police Academy and now with Emergent BioSolutions. Tom Wright, former Lansing police officer, our guest. Tom, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. We'll be right back with more Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.